The way that this show is structured, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that are new, the way that this show is structured is that we traverse different topics. Obviously, regardless of what we're talking about, whether it's the migrant crisis, whether it's politics, presidency, businesses, evictions, real estate, Airbnbs, whatever we talk about, somehow, some way, it all comes back down to the money. But it's a theme that's happening today. And that theme seems to be inclusion. Now, I know for my folk that's over there and they in the blackity black segment of YouTube, they not going to like this part. And I can't say whether you're going to like it or not, but I know that you already got your mind made up because we're asking ourselves, does diversity, equity, and inclusion really even matter when it comes to this global game that we playing? Does diversity, equity, and inclusion really even matter when it comes to this global game that we playing right now? Okay. So we have to ask ourselves. Now, I seen a video dropped on Earn Your Leisure this morning, right? And the whole theme of the video was based off of why diversity, equity, and inclusion matters. Why diversity, equity, and inclusion matters. Now, I can't give an opinion yet because I haven't seen the video, but I have to preface this conversation by saying that I believe that the person that earns and deserves a job is the person that's best for the job. The person that earns and deserves a job is the person that's best for the job. I'm not a fan of affirmative action. I'm not a fan of diversity, equity, and inclusion divisions inside of your job. That's why we got some of these people that's not even qualified to do the job in the first place. And for somebody else to get pushed out as a result of somebody else deserving it just for something that they can't control, including whether you're a woman or you're a black man or something like that, that's wild to me. I had a woman that came over my house this weekend, and she's a nice woman, and I liked her. And she was Mexican. And you know, some people that come over, because you know, we are diversity, equity, and inclusion when it comes to our social circles. Meaning that we rock with everybody and it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. The only thing that matters is whether or not you rock with us or you can substantiate your argument. And she said, you know, sometimes you can mix up some people and, you know, you may think that some people white or whatever. And she said, no, Anton, I'm Mexican. I said, okay. I hear you, baby. She said, I am a person of color. I said, ooh-wee. Shout out to Standing on Your Colored Square. Let me play this video and then we're going to break it down and we're going to have this conversation, all right?
I wanted to ask a question about diversity, equity, and inclusion, you know, and right. Then a lot of that is being reversed, or a lot of corporations are backing away from that, pulling money from black initiatives. What's your thoughts on the current landscapes of that?
You know, I think it's a great question. And one of the ways that I'm approaching this and that we are at the chamber, because you're right. I mean, I think sadly enough in America, D&I has become a political football. It's not just a moral imperative that we continue to invest and understand why diversity, equity, and inclusion matters, but there is truly a business case. I mean, you look at McKinsey and their research that companies that are more diverse at the executive team are more profitable. I mean, I'm not making that up. That's data. You look at the workforce challenges and the makeup of the workforce in 2050 and beyond. It's going to be majority minority. So the way I think about that, if we have skills gaps now among these populations, we need to invest in closing those skills gaps today. So
let me ask y'all a question. Is the companies more profitable? And let's take this into context. Let's put it in context. Profitability is not entirely based off of the diversity of your workforce. I hate to say it. Profitability is based off of a lot of things. For example, what industry are you in? What are your margins? Why are you profitable? Are the people that's in your organization doing a specific job or are they there just because they are black? And what jobs are they taking up? And how well suited are they, and how well prepared are they to do whatever job that they're doing, right? Because again, you're talking to a person, and I rock with everybody. I don't stand on that blackity black junk for none of that. I don't care none of that. I don't believe in that hate preaching. I'm an equal accountability smoke giver, and I'm a person that stand on business when it comes to making sure you run that bag up. If you running the bag up, then you for me. If you're not running the bag up, then you can go ahead and disappear, because I don't really care what your color is, because I don't believe in speaking broke. I don't believe in sign language, and I don't believe in speaking broke. Okay? But he's basically making the case and saying companies with a more diverse workforce, not a company that offers more value, not a company that's the best at what they do, but a company that has a more diverse workforce is going to be a more profitable company. How can we substantiate that? How can we substantiate that the reason that a company would be profitable is based off of the idea that they are more diverse, or they have more women, or they have more colored people, or they have more black people, or Asian people, or white people, or double minorities, and all of this stuff? How do we get to the point to where we start segmenting ourselves into a box in the first place? Never understood it. Never understood it. It makes no difference to me what you are. What matters to me is the character that you have. Are you a good person?
So that they can compete in the future. You look at the data around supplier diversity. I mean, the data is clear that minority suppliers are more innovative. They actually create a cost savings for companies. And so the way we lead this is around the business and economic case. I'm trying to stay out of the political and the politics. I get that. But we're trying to advance and continue to advance the business case. In fact, you may or may not be aware, but I mean, that's part of this meeting on this week with the Congressional Black Caucus, that, you know, they sent a letter to all the S&P 500 companies wanting to know, where are you in reaffirming your commitment to D&I? They're asking questions like, since George Floyd murder, $300-400 billion of companies pledged or announced.
Because it was all a sham in the first place. And see, this is why I like to listen to the entire conversation, because it then informs me that you're not really staying away from the political part of it. You're just saying that as a talking point, because you can't then say, well, what happened to all of the money that y'all pledged as a result of George Floyd? You talking about the money that was pledged as a result of Black Lives Matters, who turned out to be a fraud organization, who turned out to be a Marxist organization, and we all knew that? Who never went into the neighborhoods of Chicago or all of the places that they got money from, but instead they bought mansions and they were sipping on Mai Tais? You're talking about the companies that they was employing white men, that they never actually spent any money except for what they own relatives in order to give them security companies and distribute your monies? Listen, the reason why all of these companies made this pledge in the first place is because they got pressure from people that was advocating for Black Lives Matters, which turned out to be a fraud organization. If a company actually seen the benefit of continuing to spend money with organizations or based off of a pledge, if they seen a return on their investment, which you do, you not think that they're gonna make sure that they get that bag? If they have an opportunity to sell more products as a result of continuing to give you more positions, or following through on a donation and a pledge that wasn't just a symbolic gesture, you don't think that they would go and get that bag? You don't think that they're going to go and make that investment and go and get that money? You can't say, I'm not going to stand on this political gesture, when the entire thing by which they then started to donate in the first place was based off of a political gesture. It was based off of something that was advertised politically, which also, in my opinion, also helped lead the president into getting voted into office. Also, it was the perfect, perfect storm. Distractions, everybody is bored. Half of the people don't even like the person that they're living next to because of the pandemic. And then you can combine that with the idea that people can go and protest and they feeling some type of way about police officers. And it was the perfect cocktail in order to keep people distracted from the real issues that was happening in our society and the stuff that was really meaningful for us to have a discussion about. So you can't walk away from it and say, well, no, I'm trying to stay away from the political aspect of it. I don't think that these people should continue to give any money whatsoever to organizations that divide us instead of bringing us together. We even had our sports organizations had that junk on the court. Man, I canceled my, they got me back. They did get me to renew my courtside seats, but I'm not going to do it this year. I just got a letter saying, Anton, we're going to set this up to where you can renew. I ain't even respond. I don't even want to know who my new representative is. I ain't lying to you. Anton, stay tuned for Pistons membership information. Your premium experience, you're going to automatically renew. Look at this foolishness. Check this out. Check this out. I got to show y'all this. Because y'all not going to believe it if I just say it. Y'all not going to believe it. Anton, as a valued member, we want to thank you for your continued support this season. You mean the worst record in the league right now? Next week, you'll receive an email with your membership renewal details for the upcoming 2024-2025 season. This email will include incentives and benefits tailored specifically to you. And please know, and don't think that I do not have this marked on my calendar, because you are not about to auto-renew me. Please note that your membership is set to auto-renew. And if you wish to opt out, you'll have a 30-day window after receiving an email to do so. Otherwise, your plan will renew automatically and your card will be charged on Friday, March 29th. You mean to tell me that you're going to take between $50,000 and $100,000 out of my account if I don't automatically renew based off of what you see in an email? You can forget it. You can forget it. We're excited. Look, this is a sales tactic. You positively confirm what you want the person to make a decision on before they actually decide it. We're excited to have you back for another season of Detroit Basketball. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out. Now, I made sure that I cut off my representative because I don't want to give them any bad press. They just doing their job. It's not their fault. My point is this. I was disappointed. They still finessed me, but I'm not going to let them get me again. You're not going to diversity, equity, and inclusion me into another membership. I don't care if it's for my business. Absolutely not. I ain't been to a Pistons game since fall of last year. I've been giving them to clients and birthday gifts. Hey, y'all want to go to see the season? My little homie, all of that, man.
And, you know, they're asking tough questions around accountability in this space. And so it is about how we can all work together to not only reaffirm, but make sure that this work continues, not for the sake of just being the right thing to do, but it's good for our economy. It's good for the workers in the workforce of the future. And when these companies can connect it to supply chains and connect it to access to capital, they also create jobs in the communities in which they exist. So it's all a win-win to me. And that's how we're leading. And that's my message that I preach across the country, that there's a business and economic case. And we can't afford to lose ground in that regard.
No, you can forget it, buddy.
For those, my last question to you, Rick, is this. We spoke about China, obviously the importance of Africa. Are there other emerging markets that we should be keeping our eyes on for us the next 5 to 10 years?
Indeed. Well, I just think the world is wide open in areas that perhaps oftentimes we don't think about. But, you know, I spent a lot of time in India. I talked about it earlier. I think even in economies that are having to be rebuilt, whether it's Ukraine, sadly enough, all of what is happening in and around the Middle East. I just think the world is an oyster when it comes to opportunities to do business. It's just that we've not been exposed as much as we should be. And that onus sometimes is on us as much as it is on organizations like the U.S. Chamber, which we're trying to do more of this, is to help us understand and expose our companies and our people to the world.
Let me be objective and say that he's right about that. You see how I can also say that somebody could be right about something, even though I don't necessarily agree with their premise or the reason that they're saying what they're saying in the first place? I tell guys this all the time, even when it comes to the passport bros. I say, listen, If y'all just going over there, and I know that it's not everybody that's doing it, but it is a large demographic of people that's doing it. I say, listen, if y'all just going over and getting your passport or traveling to different countries only because you want to get some box and you're not looking at it from an economic opportunity perspective, you're not looking at it from a cultural perspective, you're not trying to figure out how you can get some money and do business. If the only thing that you're going over there for is some box, then you short-sighted. And I believe that you don't understand that we are now in a global marketplace. Even when it comes to content creation and what we're doing right now, a lot of people that watch my show, and I was looking at the numbers over the weekend, I have a growing demographic of people that is watching the Millionaire Morning Show outside of the United States of America. Can we get a round of applause? Make sure y'all tap into the Patreon link. Link is in the description as well as pinned to the top of the chat. So now what we're doing is we're evaluating growth opportunities, even from a content creation perspective, and saying, wait a minute, are we only marketing ourselves, or are we misrepresenting that we only speak to a specific demographic or a specific culture? Should we be having conversations based off of international policies and politics and business and money and how we can continue to run the bag up? Are we limiting ourselves? Because it's a global marketplace. It's not just a marketplace for your neighborhood or your city or your hood or whatever. Even when I see people name their platforms and it be one particular city or one hood, it's like, don't you know that people outside of your hood don't know your block? They don't know your side streets. They don't really care about where you grew up at. If the conversation that you're trying to have is expansive and it reaches a bigger audience than just what's in your neighborhood, then you probably want to label yourself a little bit differently, right? And so I agree with him. We are in a global marketplace, and I think that a lot of times we limit ourselves based off of our circumstances or our environment or what we see is our cultural norm. I mean, for God's sakes, Beyonce just released a rock song and a country song at the same time. Even they understand, even the Carters understand that, wait a minute, we losing a lot of money by limiting ourselves to just one demographic or one segment of people.
But I do think, yes, I think the continent of Africa, I do think India, China, you know, in spite of the geopolitical and other challenges that exist there, I mean, we have a relationship with China that is checkered and on any given day challenged, but it's interdependent. One country, I would tell you that I've had a meeting with the ambassador and I was struck by that so close to us that we don't think about is Canada, Mexico. I mean, all of these, I think all of these places are just ripe for doing business if we understand. And we got to think out the box as well and engage and understand and go on these trade missions. And, you know, as we were saying earlier, get exposed. And I think you got to see it to believe it. So go take your time to go out to these countries and, you know, the beauty of technology today, you can look, you can experience this stuff online if you do homework and do the research and understanding what to trade, what investments, you know, what are the emerging economies, and then building the ties, which we can help you with through the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. So can the U.S. Department of Commerce, that has what's called a Foreign Commercial Service Office Division. And their number one job, your own federal government agency, the U.S. Department of Commerce, is to help you get connected to markets around the world.
And I think that we really, 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 really have been short-sighted in that. I honestly do. I believe that we've been short-sighted in understanding that we are in a global marketplace. And a lot of times, even the conversations that we have is all based off of where we're currently at instead of where it is that we can do business. And even in the passport bros, I would like to see them talk more about the money and the economic opportunities in addition to who's and what's over in Sisua and the lady boys over there in Thailand. All right.